But I understand that this is a difficult and a troubled area. And it's in the greatest darkness that the fire has the greatest impact. You want an area where revival breaks out? Go to the area that needs God the most, and the fires of revival will start there. Amen? Tonight we are in an area that's probably got a bit of a reputation. A lot of people don't want to come here. They don't want to leave their cars here, etc., etc. Well, guess what? This is the type of area where you would have found Jesus. Why? Because they needed him. Jesus did not come to hang around with the hoity-toity and the high society. He came to bring sinners to repentance. Amen? So he's here tonight. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're going to have worship now, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. In the Old Testament, when people brought a sacrifice to God on the offering altar, and God accepted that sacrifice, the sacrifice was accepted by fire. Amen. Tonight we are going to offer God a sacrifice of praise. The word of God tells us that the Spirit of the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. You don't have to wonder where the Spirit of God is going to be tonight. You're going to know that the Spirit of God is here because the scriptures never lie. The word of God cannot lie. God is not a man that he should lie. He gives you a promise that when we bring before God praise and worship, the Spirit of the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And when God is blessed with the praises, the sacrifice of praise that we bring before him, he answers with fire. So now you're thinking, well, why is that special? Well, wait until I teach you what the fire does. Then you'll know why it's special. The word of God says, according to your faith, it shall be given unto you. I want you to listen to me very carefully. When you walk into this place, you better have faith and you better have an expectation. Jesus said, if you are thirsty, come to me and drink. You know, a lot of people, their attitude when it comes to the things of God is, whatever. That's the wrong attitude. Be thirsty. Have an expectation. If you have a problem with your son, have an expectation tonight. You have a problem in your marriage, have an expectation tonight. You have a problem in your body, have an expectation tonight. Why? Because God will meet your expectation. If your expectation tonight is pathetic, you're not going to experience much of God. But if you come here tonight with a genuine expectation and you are trusting God even for the impossible, well, what a bargain. We serve a supernatural God. Listen to me carefully. We serve a supernatural God. The things that people told you can't, God says can. People say it won't. God says, why not? You see, God is not limited to the way things work here on earth. There are places where the Bible says Jesus healed every sickness and every disease. Show me one doctor that can do that. They can't. But for God, nothing is impossible. He came to open the eyes of the blind. He came to heal the sick. He came to cleanse the leper. And he came to bring miracles, signs and wonders into people's lives. Why? Because sometimes that's the only way people really believe. Some people say, yeah, but you know what, Rion, the Bible also says that when people ask Jesus for a sign, Jesus said, well, no sign will be given to you. But just go back and look quickly. Why did he tell them no sign will be given to them? Because they had already seen the blind eyes open. They had already seen the deaf ears hear. They had already seen him walk on water. They had already seen him multiply bread. They had already seen him do signs, wonders, and miracles, and still they would not believe. They still asked for more. He said, no more will be given to you, except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah went into the belly of the whale for 3 days, so the Son of Man will go down into the depths of the earth for 3 days and then be raised again. Don't you think for one second that God will not touch your life? Don't you think for one second that God will not meet your need? I've heard a lot of pastors say, we live in an era where these things do not happen. May I never live in an era such as that. Because that's not what the Word of God teaches me. The Word of God tells me that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When Jesus sent out the disciples, he told them, go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Lay your hands on the sick and they will get better. Cast out devils. I wish I could tell you how many devils I've cast out. But it's a lot. I wish I could tell you how many sick people we've seen healed. It's a lot. You know why? Because I have an expectation. And God will meet my expectation. I'm not yet to tell you tonight about a Mickey Mouse God that can't do nothing. Some people want you to believe in a God like that. Go read your Bible. That's not the way he speaks of himself. Amen? That is not the way that he portrays himself to you and I. You have a problem, God is the solution. Do you believe it? Jesus did ask this question. He said, when the Son of Man returns to this earth, will he still find faith? The problem is a lot of us, we are in churches that have lost faith. It's become a religious institution. We go Sunday after Sunday, but we never expect anything to happen. How sad is that? When you are where God is, something is going to happen. If you allow him to. If you allow him to. My friend, listen to this carefully. The Bible says, the wind blows where he wants to. You don't know where he is going, and you don't know where he comes from. And so it shall be with each of you if you are born again of the Spirit of God. The wind blows where he wants to. Who's the wind? It's a title of the Holy Spirit. He is called the Ruach in the Old Testament, which means the breath of the Almighty. He's called Pneuma in the New Testament, which simply means wind, breath, or spirit. But the Bible says, if you want God to operate, let the wind blow where he wants to. Can we make an agreement tonight and say, Lord, what you want? Why do you think Jesus taught us to pray? Your will be done. Your kingdom come. You know, sometimes I think God must really just shake his head in disbelief because we pray and pray and pray these things. And then one day he happens to come where we are and he begins to do what he wants to do. And then we're all like, ooh, I never signed up for this. No, this is very weird stuff. I don't like this stuff. Go read your Bible. Jesus did some pretty hair-raising weird stuff. Not everybody liked what he did. The Pharisees couldn't stand him. In other words, religious people don't like it when the Spirit of God moves. Hello? So if you think you might be religious, put that down tonight. The wind blows where he wants to. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you a little secret. The wind can be blowing a gale outside if we closed all the windows and we closed all the doors. It doesn't stop the wind from blowing, but the wind no longer affects you. That's what's happening in a lot of our churches today. It's not that God hasn't, it's not that God has stopped moving. It's not that God has stopped touching people. It's not that God has stopped healing or restoring or doing miracles. It's that we've decided that we don't like strange things to happen and we close the doors. Do you agree with me that God is supernatural? So why is it such a big deal for people when the supernatural enters the church? Why do people jump up and down and claim witchcraft, sorcery, toer dokter? Isn't that how God works? Come on, my friend. Isn't that how God works? So tonight we need to open the doors. And I'm not just talking about the doors of this building. Tonight I'm here. This ministry is under my authority. I don't move unless the Holy Spirit moves. So according to me, the door at the back is open. But I'm wondering about the door of your heart. Because what good is it if the Holy Ghost comes and he's like moving and he's breathing and he's blowing, but your heart is sealed? Let me teach you something that you must never forget about how God works. God doesn't force himself on anybody in any situation. It is your choice whether you accept him or not. We can walk down the streets today with a 357 Magnum, put it against a guy's head and say, draai of braai, broer. Even if he accepts Christ, God will never honor the decision he made. Because we forced him and we manipulated him. And you can't manipulate people into the kingdom. Satan is the manipulator, not God. Therefore, in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible teaches us, Jesus, writing to the seven churches, he says the following, behold, I stand at the door and I am knocking. If you will open up, I will enter in. If you will open up. I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you willing to open up? It's your choice. But I strongly urge you to open up. And when we listen just now to the message, and you begin to understand the fire a bit better, you will realize why you have to have fire in you if you're going to make a difference. You have to have fire in you if you are going to experience God. If you have been a Christian for 20 years and you've never really experienced God, there's a problem. There's no fire. You need the fire. Were you blessed? Give the Lord a big hand of praise. All right, before you go sit down, there's something that I would love for us to do. You've seen me do it now for the last 2 weeks. I'm going to be doing it as long as I speak on the fire. And you'll understand why I do it when you hear more about the fire. How many of you that are here tonight, you know somebody that is not saved? Some of you thinking of your boss. Yeah, there's a very good candidate. Amen. Some of you are thinking of your mother-in-law. Some of you are thinking of your husband. Some of you are thinking of your wife. But you know somebody that is not saved. Is it God's heart for them to perish, or does God want them to have eternal life? Amen. Can somebody say hallelujah? So if God wants them to have eternal life, then God must have a plan to bring them to salvation. Amen. How many of you know that we play a role in that plan? That plan means nothing without you and me. Look at your friend next to you and say, you are important in God's master plan. Now, don't have a panic attack. Let me explain to you. Jesus took a bunch of fishermen and he told them to lay down their nets. And he said to them, he would teach them to become fishers of men. They would still be fishers, but they would start focusing on a completely new target. If you see the person standing in front of you, there's a target on their backside. Because God is targeting men. Amen? Now, can you be a fisher without equipment? Can you be a fisher without tools? How many of you know when you take your boat and you row into the middle of the Vaal Dam, the fish don't just jump in? If that happens, we would constitute it a miracle. The Vatican would pope you or something funny. Yeah? So in other words, you need some tools. Now, Jesus said that the Great Commission is that you and I are to go out and make disciples. We are to go out and preach the gospel to every creature, including your mother-in-law. I know that's scary, but it has to happen. Now, if we are to become fishers of men, then we have to believe by faith that God has equipped us to do what we need to do. Would you agree with me that every fisherman has a net? Take your net and put it in your hands. Do this by faith. This is a prophetic action. I want you to say this with me. Father God, I receive the commission to be a fisher of men. And today, by faith, I'm going to cast out this net. You know every person that I know that is not saved. I bring before you my children, my family members, my friends, yes, and my enemies. Nobody is safe from this tool God gave me. It cannot miss because it's guided by the Holy Ghost. There is trouble for you, devil. You will not have them. I loose by faith this net right now. I want you to cast your net. Throw it out. Throw it out. Just don't clonk the oak in front of you, please. Now, begin to pull it in. Come on, do this prophetically by faith. I want you to start saying thanks to God for every person that comes in. Don't worry about the person next to you. You just start thanking God. Come on, bring it in. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for my mother-in-law. Lord, thank you for my children. Lord, thank you for my friends. Thank you for my family. Lord, that stingy boss of mine, thank you that he gets saved. Thank you that his purse gets saved. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, pull it in, pull it in, pull it in, pull it in. In Jesus' mighty name. Now I want you to say to Satan, let them go. Now! Bless God. Amen. Yokes are wonderful. I like you a lot. Thank you. You may sit down. You may sit down. Some of you, this is very strange because the type of church that you go to, they probably will never do something like this. Let me just stretch you a little bit. How did God create the heavens and the earth? How did God create the heavens and the earth? There was no building contractor for him to go to. Praise God, they didn't have all the red tape to go to some government institution to get plans drawn up. God simply spoke the word, and it came to pass. Whose image are you created in? Doesn't the Bible teach you in the book of Proverbs 18 verse 21, life and death is in the power of the tongue? Look at somebody next to you and say, your tongue is dangerous. The devil doesn't want you to know these things because your tongue is dangerous. If you use it badly, it's dangerous for your family. If you use it correctly, it's dangerous for the devil. There was a whole bunch of devils freaking out all over Springs tonight when you confessed the word of God over these people's lives. Amen? Amen. Right, Luke chapter 3, verse 15 to 16. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John the Baptist was a very, very remarkable man. He was sent by God to be a prophet in a time in which Israel had not heard the word of God spoken for over 400 years. For some of you, it might be bliss if your wife stopped speaking to you. It's not bliss when God stops speaking. The Bible says, for the word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. When was the last time you went into your dark garage in the middle of the night? In fact, scrap that one. I've got a better analogy for you. Who of you have teenagers at home? Never venture into a teenager's room unless you switch on the light first. Because you will do yourself serious damage. But it just becomes so much easier when you switch on the light and you can see where you are going. When God remains silent, darkness covers the earth. Because God and God alone can give light. You want to know how that works? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless, it was empty, and darkness covered the surface of the deep. And God said, let there be light. Have you ever read that the Bible tells you he only later created the sun, the moon, and the stars? Where did the light come from? God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. God doesn't need Eskom to give light. Praise God, otherwise we would all be in trouble. God is light. But when the word of God doesn't come through, the light doesn't come through. John the Baptist was placed on this earth in a time where God had chosen to remain silent because of man's sinful state and willful disobedience over centuries. And God said, because of this, I will remain silent. Israel was a very bad place back then. Last week, I showed you a bit about that. But let's just say that there was crime. There was corruption, there was prostitution, there was intimidation, there was bribery. No, I'm not talking about Joburg. Hello? I'm talking about Israel 2,000 years ago. It was a very dark place. It was very far from God. He lived in the desert and he preached in the desert. People came to hear and be baptized by him from all over, from all different walks of life. Think about this. He lived in the desert and he preached in the desert. If somebody was to start preaching in the middle of the Karoo, halfway between Beaufort West and something, what's close to there? What's that good? Halfway between Lanesburg and Beaufort West. Somebody goes and he doesn't even pitch a tent because John the Baptist didn't have a tent. He just starts preaching. And the next moment, people from all over South Africa take like a mass exodus and go there. How wow would that be? Well, it was wow then and it's still wow now. Because how did the people know to go there? This man was in the middle of nowhere. Listen to this. This is amazing stuff. John did not have a campaign manager. He didn't have some smooth-talking oak that went from town to town, from city to city, scantily clad girls going advertising, you know, attracting people's attention, doing a whole wow thing, and getting people to go. There was no campaign manager. TBN did not exist yet. DSTV was not even thought of. There was no advertising going on. John did not have a massive church network supporting him, creating an awareness for him. John did not have a six-figure bank account. He did not have a million-dollar sound system. He did not have a state-of-the-art building. John didn't have any of the things that today we would equate with something big. John was one man in the middle of one very rough desert, doing what God called him to do, and people came from everywhere, from all walks of life, to hear him. You see, my friend, John had something that all the money in the world cannot buy. John had something that is missing from a lot of Christians and from a lot of churches today. John was filled and anointed and equipped by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And that made all the difference. Now, I want to stop right there. And I said to you earlier that the fire is necessary. And I said to you earlier that the Bible says the wind blows where he wants to. You don't know where he comes from and you don't know where he's going. John chapter 3 verse 8. What was it that John the Baptist had that caused people to flock to him from all over? The Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to share more with you just now. But before I go any further, I want to do something. I want us to do something else that is prophetic. How many of you believe that we live in a very dark age right now? There are a lot of things that was happening in the days of John the Baptist that are mirrored in our society today. If John was a light shining in the darkness, today God needs lights shining in the darkness. The school your kids go to, my friend, it's dark. If you know half the stuff going on there, you would not let your little precious boy or girl go there. The street you stay on is dark. If you knew half the stuff going on in that street, you wouldn't leave your front door. How many of you know there's a lot of devils out there? There's a good reason God doesn't allow us to see them. Because if you could see them, you wouldn't move. You shouldn't be afraid of them. I'm not saying that. But I must tell you one thing. They are busy right now. They are more busy now than what they have ever been. Sodom and Gomorrah was a walk in the park compared to what we experience on a daily basis. The devil is busy because it's the end of the age. Time is little. There's not a lot of time for him. He's not called the roaring lion for nothing, and he is seeking whom he may devour. And he is seeking hard in your area. There is only one way that you can get him out of your life, that you can get him out of your schools, that you can get him out of your area. The police can't do nothing for you. You know all this crime and corruption? We complain, we moan, we perform, we write letters. I'm going to tell you now, that'll not change nothing. Because crime is spiritual, my friend. The chocho that stole your car works for another chocho that you can't see, that sent him to go and do that. You can go and beat the dingus out of that oak, but you can't get hold of the one that sent him. And he'll just send another one and another one and another one until you deal with him. But you can't do it on your own. Because he's a spirit. He's a principality of destruction, a principality of crime, a principality of prostitution, a principality of anger, a principality of sexual immorality. All of these things are hanging around right now. Probably the biggest one is corruption, and he's got a big place in our government. So what are we going to do about it? You're going to have to do what the Word of God tells us to do. The only way to get rid of darkness is to bring in light. One match, one tiny little match in the midst of total darkness expels darkness. This is the property of light, my friend. It will always, always expel darkness. Darkness can never, never expel light. I don't care how much light you have with you, whether it's a little bit or whether it's a lot, it'll expel darkness. But not if you're alone. Only if the Holy Spirit is with you. So here's what I want us to do. I say to you that the wind blows where he wants to. You don't know where he comes from. You don't know where he is going. I also say to you that Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If you will open up, I will enter in. Your calling is to go and be a light. Your calling is to go and change lives. Yes, you've cast out your net. But there's two ways of looking at it. The one way is to get your net on people and pull them in. The other one is for them to come to you like moths to a flame. Because somebody in darkness notices light. They see fire. Let's invite the Holy Spirit. Let's invite him now. What good is it I pray for you after the meeting to receive him when you should have him now so that what I share with you makes sense to you? Only one person can reveal the scripture to you, my friend, and it's not me. It's the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of wisdom. He is the fire of God. So I want you to do this for me. Please stand. Please raise your arms. And please pray this with me. Father God, I praise you tonight for your word. Truly it is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. John the Baptist was a remarkable man. People came from all over to be where he was. They didn't know why. They didn't understand. But they didn't care. Today, we need that anointing. Today, we need the same fire. Lord, you said, if I am thirsty, you will release your living water into me. Today I stand here and I declare before heaven and earth, I am thirsty. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my life. I cannot live without you. God put me on this earth to make a difference. I want to make a difference. I can't do it myself. Please, Holy Spirit, come and burn inside of me. May I expel darkness wherever I go. I open my heart. Holy Spirit, breathe in me. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Take a deep breath. Breathe out. Do it again. Breathe out. Last time. Breathe out. How many of you felt something happen to you now? Give the Lord a big hand of praise. All right. You can sit down. Now, John had something that all the money in the world could never buy. You know, in the New Testament, as the apostles moved through places and they prayed for people, the power of God was made manifest. Things were happening. One day there was a man that came and he tried to buy what he saw the disciples had. Who knows what he saw? Maybe he saw people do strange things under the anointing. We know that on the day of Pentecost, when the fire of God fell down, there was such a commotion that people thought that everybody was drunk. Hello? What you perceive to be orderly might be disorderly to God. And what you perceive to be disorderly to God might actually be orderly to Him. Because the principles of His kingdom are not the principles of this world. The way His kingdom operates is not the way we operate. And a lot of times when the Holy Spirit comes, we grieve Him because we put our foot down and we say, no, we don't like this. The Bible warns us, do not grieve the Spirit of God. On the day of Pentecost, when the fire of God fell down, some really strange things started happening. Whether people liked it or not doesn't matter. Everybody noticed it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Some people made fun of it. Some people said, I'm confused. Other people said, praise God. But do you know what happened? Go read your Bible. Up to 3,000 people a day got saved because of the fire that began to burn. It started with 120 men. 3,000 a day got saved. How scary is that? How scary is that? Now, John was filled and anointed and equipped by the Holy Spirit. An angel of God appeared to John's father, a man by the name of Zechariah, to foretell John's birth. And this is what he says in Luke 1 verse 13. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been answered. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. And you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight unto you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. How wow is that? You can be filled with the Holy Ghost even from birth. John was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. You can go and study the scriptures. There is no other prophet of God of whom that is ever said. That is quite phenomenal. Now, can you imagine how powerful God's anointing must have been upon the life of John the Baptist? Let's look at fire. Let's say we make a small fire. And we allow it to start burning. And all the time, we add more combustible material to the fire. What becomes to the temperature of that fire? It's going to get hotter and hotter and hotter. It's going to burn brighter and brighter. It's going to get bigger and bigger. His fire started burning the day he was conceived. Because God had a calling on his life. God had a special destiny for him. He would be a light shining in a dark world. Guess what? You were born in a dark world. God's heart is to reach the lost. Would John be the only one that could be equipped by God to be a light in the darkness? Listen to this. John 5 verse 31. Jesus speaking, listen to this. This is amazing. This is phenomenal. John was a lamp that burned and gave light. What was John? To God, he wasn't just a man. He was a flame walking in the power of God. What was the purpose of his flame? To draw men unto him, unto the kingdom of God. John was a lamp that burned and gave light. And you chose for a time to enjoy that light. The words of Jesus. According to Jesus himself, the fire of God's Holy Spirit was burning inside of John. Now, listen to this. John did not need to advertise his presence in the desert. Have you noticed that a fire doesn't need somebody to announce that it has arrived? You know it's there. Come on. You know it's there. The moment there is a fire, people take notice. Even people that couldn't give a hoot if you've called them 5 or 10 or 20 times, when they hear the flames, when they feel the heat, I promise you, they will move. On a dark night, you see a fire burning for many, many kilometers. In fact, the astronauts have documented that they can see not even big fires, but fairly small fires all the way from space. How is that for scary? You know the principalities up there? The principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age and the spiritual wickedness in high places? They've got a bird's eye view of what goes on down here. You want to make an impact on them? Start burning with fire. They will take notice. When was the last time you stepped on a hot coal? Come on, when was the last time you stepped on a hot coal? It happened to me a couple of times. I won't do that again. Guess what? There's a bunch of chochos messing with your life right now. Can I tell you why? Because there's no fire. They step on you and step on you and step on you. Jesus said, behold, I have given you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But don't you think for one second, if you don't have no fire, they're going to leave you alone. When you have fire and you step on them, you destroy them. When you have fire and they try and step on you, they run away because they get burned. When you have nothing, they walk all over you, left, right, left, right. There are a lot of people sitting in churches every Sunday. They are nothing but the devil's doormat. Their lives are falling apart. They have no peace. They have no joy. They have no hope. Because the devil's not afraid of them. Don't you think for one second that the devil is afraid of you because you call yourself a Christian? He doesn't give a hoot. He has seen many people call themselves Christians over the decades, over the centuries, that have had no impact on his life. But he has also seen a couple that have burnt him severely. And when he sees fire, he knows, now I have problems. When he sees fire, he says, ooh, let me go and rethink my strategy. You see, fire can be seen all the way from space. There's stuff up here that look down. The reason they get away with murder in certain areas is because there's no fire in that area. So they can wade amongst us. They can spread their lies. They can spread their deceit. They can sow their evil and they can sow their discord. There is no unity in the churches. There is a lot of division. Marriages are falling apart. Sexual immorality is rife. Why? Because they just stomp between us and release their poison. But the more the fire burns, the more difficult it gets for them to start walking amongst us. You want to clean this neighborhood? Set it on fire. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to start some fires. Now, don't you run to the police and tell them that I said that you must start real fire, right? I'm talking spiritually. I'm talking spiritually. I prayed for a lady the other night. She said, she brought me a towel and she said I must pray for her husband. I said, I'm going to pray for this towel to have so much fire that when you get home and you get next to your husband in bed, his underpants must start smoldering and he must jump out of bed and ask you, what the heck has happened? We have to have an expectation, amen? Come on, we're not yet to waste time. We have to take God at his word. Bless God. Where's that lady? Please come here. You shared a testimony with me. You have to come and talk. Come here. Don't be afraid now, man. There we go. What does fire do? It demands your attention. You can make like you don't care. Let me tell you something, you will care. When fire burns, it demands your attention. How are you? You well? You blessed? All right, come stand here with me. What is your name again?
Brenda.
All right, Brenda shared a wonderful testimony with me. Brenda, your husband, he's here. Just wave with me. There we go. You happy? You blessed? Amen. Amen. Sir, you don't mind if I share what we prayed last week? Are you all right with that? I didn't check with him, but you know what? There's a big smile on his face and he says, So I like that. All right, Brenda, come stand here with me. Last week was the first time your husband ever came to any church. Am I right?
Yes.
All right. And they had lots of problems in the family and they said we must pray for them. What does fire do to rubbish? It burns it, doesn't it? All right. So where the devil causes problems, the fire of God laps it up and destroys it. And your son wasn't at home. Am I right?
Yes, he wasn't at home.
For how long had he been gone?
He left in May. We had a fight and he left and I hadn't seen him. We hadn't spoken to each other. We were not on good talking terms at all.
Amen. And we prayed and the fire began to burn. And what happened?
On Tuesday, he came back.
Somebody give the Lord a big hand of praise. Amen. Hey, God is good. God is good. Amen. Thank you. You may sit down. Fire demands your attention. It doesn't care whether you like it or not. It demands your attention. You know, a lot of people, they try and do things for God and they've got good intentions, but they have no power. The Bible speaks of men that will walk the earth that have a form of godliness, but they have denied the power thereof. The seven sons of Sceva were like that. They heard that the disciples were doing wonderful things. Signs, wonders, and miracles were happening, amongst which demons came out of people. It's quite wow when you see it. And you see, these people wanted that power for themselves, not to glorify God, but to look good in the eyes of man. Will God give you anything if you want it for yourself? No, but the devil will give you stuff. There's a lot of people in churches doing stuff that comes from the devil because they do it to fulfill their own needs. They like to be seen. If you want God to use you, become a servant. Servants don't want to be seen. They want to do the job to give God the glory. The moment your attitude is different to that, some false, deceitful, lying spirit will start working with you. That's why the Bible says that there will be a generation that will walk the earth where men will have a form of godliness, but they will have no power. The power will come from Satan. Can the devil do things? Don't think for one second that he can't, because he can. Why do people go to witch doctors? No, it's not because they're stupid. It's because things do happen, but the things that happen bring you deeper and deeper and deeper into bondage. Hello? You can go to certain witch doctors and they'll do a potion. You look in a mirror and you see your enemy. How many of you know that that's totally supernatural? And then it's like, wow, well, yo, that oak doesn't like me. Ooh. So next week you come back and the week after you come back. The witch doctor gets fat with all your money. He's like a vampire sucking your blood. Your life goes down the pit because you invite more and more demons into your life every time you go there. There is power there, but it is destructive. The power of God brings healing, brings repentance, brings salvation, brings change, gives breakthrough, and it's for free. Listen to me carefully. It's for free. When somebody comes to you and they say, I am a prophet of God. You know, these days every second oak is a prophet. They're a prophet or an apostle. And then they tell you that you must pay. That Jesus makes people pay. The Bible says, freely you have received. Freely you shall give. Jesus said, by their fruit you will know them. When somebody is after your money, you know the spirit is not the spirit of God. Amen? It's not the spirit of God. Okay. Now, John didn't need to advertise his presence in the desert. When has a fire ever needed to advertise its presence? On a dark night, you see that fire burning for many kilometers. The point is simply that very few things in life gets your attention as quickly as a fire that begins to burn. Now, I want you to listen to this. Fire can be seen. It can be heard. Because it is a heat, it can be felt. It can even be smelled, and you can even taste it. In other words, when a fire comes into your proximity, it bombards all of your senses. We've had people, yeah, under the fire of God, bounce up and down on the floor. Then some people look at that and they say, well, that's crazy, that's weird, why would that happen? When was the last time you put oil in a hot pan? Does it bounce? Yes. If the floor is on fire, what happens to some people? They bounce a bit. They bounce a bit. Why? Probably that's the best way to get rid of all their chochos. Amen? When you want to clean a carpet, what do? You twar. Looks better. I know to your mind it doesn't make sense, but God just loves to do things like that. Why do you think Jesus said, unless you become as a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of God? My friend, the kingdom of God is not heaven. The kingdom of God is now. It's today. You can go to heaven one day without ever having experienced the kingdom. That's the sad thing. That's the sad reality of a lot of believers. They'll make it to heaven one day. But the first that they will experience of the glory of God will be one day when they stand in front of Him. You can have it today. You can experience it today. Why wouldn't you want to? Why wouldn't you want to? Come on. Why would I want to die to experience God's glory? Why would I want to die to be touched by God's power? How crazy and ludicrous is that? When the scripture says it's available to me here and now. Didn't Jesus teach you to pray, my kingdom come? Come on. How many times have you prayed the Lord's Prayer? What does it say? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. What happens when the kingdom of God is made manifest on earth? The supernatural power of God is made manifest. When Jesus cast out devils, He said, the kingdom has come upon you. Amen? When Jesus had His transfiguration, where the power of God was so powerful that the disciples freaked out, fell down, and got completely loopy, it was called a manifestation of the kingdom of God. Did those things happen after they died? No. Those things happened while they were here on earth. When the kingdom comes, the power of God flows. Isn't that the place you want to be? Come on. That's where I want to be. I didn't become part of a one day theology. Jesus is alive today. He told us the things that I have done you will do, and even greater things you will do. I don't understand the greater things. I don't worry that much about the greater things. But man, He did some amazing things, didn't He? He did some amazing things. Listen to this. Not everyone liked John the Baptist. But nobody could ignore this man because of the fire of the Holy Spirit that burnt inside of him. Whether you liked him or whether you hated him, you knew about him. Hello? That's not going to change. Some people will like you and some people will hate you. But bless God, they will know about you. And you know what? Some of those people who hate you today, when the pawpaw really hits the fan in their life, they'll know where they can go. Hello? When the pawpaw and the pawpaw, how many of you know the pawpaw always hits the fan at some point in time? Raise your hands if you've experienced it. Some of you must raise two hands and jump up and down now. Come on. They will curse you today and spit in your face today and tell you you're a hypocrite and you're crazy. But one day when the time is right and the finger of God touches their life, or when the finger of the devil has touched them a bit too often, they'll come running back and they'll remember where they saw the light. Because in the light, things always look better. In the light, things always look... Have you noticed that in the darkness? Let me sketch you a little scene. It's not that bad when we're older, but it tends to be really bad when we're younger. When we're young, we have very fertile imaginations, right? I don't know about females. I'm a male. Do females also have fertile imaginations? All right, so you'll understand what I'm talking about. You're about 10 years old. Your mother comes to put you to bed. And as she switches off the light, there's just enough light for you to make out some shapes and stuff. So there's this coat rack, and there's a coat hanging over the coat rack, and your fertile imagination pops in, and it's like, yeah, the boogeyman. Freak, 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 the boogeyman. Instantly, duvet over the head. You pull the duvet back. Oh, you're looking from a different angle. It's moved. Big scream. Whole family's awake. Mom and dad come rushing in. Mom switches on the light. Comes and sits next to you. What's wrong? Ma, the boogeyman is in my room. When you look around your mother, it's nothing but the coat rack. Huh? A lot of people are suffering from depression, anxiety, fear, hopelessness and despair because they live their life in darkness and everything looks worse. How do you get rid of that? Switch on the light. They'll see there's nothing to stress about. But it's not that easy because you can't plug something into Eskom and get something from it. Hello? You need fire. Where does light come from? Fire. When you wake up in the morning and you see the sun come up, what you're really seeing is a great big ball of fire. And it allows you to see. It allows us to drive. It allows us to play rugby. It allows us to play netball or hockey. It allows us to enjoy our life. You can go fishing because you can see. Take away the fire, where are you? Somewhere in the darkness wondering what the hell is going on. That's the problem. We have millions of people somewhere in the darkness wondering what the hell is going on. What do they need? Yes, it's good for them to hear a good sermon now and then, but let me tell you something. Sermons don't change people. How many sermons did you hear when you were younger and you were still very naughty? Hello? I know, because I was one of you. Domini preek sy hart uit. Friday night, I'm jolling. Forgot everything he said. In fact, I didn't even listen because I was sitting there counting the 1, 2, 3. Check my auntie's a weird hairstyle. Wow. Come on, you did it yourself, man. Hello? I wonder if that okay as a toupee. Maybe if I blow. No? Come on. You did it. I'll never forget. I'm about my son's age. You better not do these things. I'm about my son's age. I was heavy into marbles. I was the marble king at the school that I was in. I sneaked my whole set of, we called them spiders back then. It was like a nice one. It had these lines, these wavy lines running through it. Spiders. They were very, very popular. You could change one spider for 4 or 5 normal ones. I'd sneak them all to church because there was some other oak that I was going to do some swaps with. You understand? So for some reason, we never got to swapping. And yeah, we're sitting in the church and you know what things are like. Now I'm faffing here and I'm faffing there in the next moment. Tick, 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 tick. And there's just marbles all over the place. Apparently, my father did not see the funny side of it. Today, when we talk about it, probably he will. But back then, I got a big fat hiding. In any case, I don't know why I told you that. Comic relief. Not everybody liked John the Baptist, but they could not ignore this man because the fire of the Holy Ghost burned inside of him. Luke 3 verse 15. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. The effect that John had on people was so powerful that those who met him believed that he might possibly be the promised Messiah. What I'm simply trying to say here is this. They knew that when the Messiah comes, he would be anointed of God. He would be able to do signs and wonders and miracles. He would be different. Look at what the people were thinking in their hearts. This man is so different, he could possibly be the Messiah. Listen to me carefully. It is time for a new generation to rise up who are different. And when people look at you, they mustn't wonder, they must know you are different. I don't care whether they like you being different or whether they love you being different. The fact of the matter is, you need to be different. Is it possible? It is very possible. It is very possible. We're not going to change our families. We're not going to change our society. We're not going to change our friends. We're not going to change our schools with the same old, same old. You know, if you want a different outcome, you need to change certain things. How are we going to start getting people to come to God when we are different? Today, here's the sad reality. Most people have no time for Christianity because of all the hypocrisy in so-called Christian lives. Gandhi was once asked which religion he perceives to be the best. And he gave an astonishing answer. He said he has actually studied a lot of different religions. And the one that makes the most sense, the one that speaks to him the most, is Christianity. And if it wasn't for all the Christians that he had already met, he would actually have become one. How scary is that? And then I want to say to you, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Because it's 100 years later, and that's why a lot of people still don't want to go to church, because they've met too many so-called Christians that were nothing but hypocrites. You could not say that of John the Baptist. Everybody that met him knew that there was something different about him. All of you know somebody that's lekker naughty. If God changes that person, you will know whether they've changed or not. Maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, how do you know I'm naughty? No, I don't. But if God was to change you, people will know. People will know. People felt drawn to John. They felt compelled to listen to him. They felt compelled to obey him. You see, my friend, fire has this way of affecting people. It'll make you run, even if you've never run before. Ja, mevrou, work for jou. You know, there's a lot of aunties that says, no, there's no, nothing is going to make me run. Fire comes in the back there, guess what you're going to do? You know, we're worried about our nails and our high heels and whatever, you know. Teenagers. No, we can't run, man. The chicks are checking me out, you know. I have to be cool, you know. Fire comes into the building, guess what? You forget about all the chicks. You run over them to get out there. Huh? There are a lot of people that you know, they've said, I will never go to church. I will never change. Guess what? When the fire comes, they'll change their mind. Come on. When the fire comes, they will change their mind. Now give the Lord a big hand. It will make you jump even if you have one foot in the grave. And fire will make you change your course. If you were on your way somewhere and suddenly there's a huge fire, you can't get all cocky and say, I don't give a hoot, I'm going that way anyway. You're going to burn. So no matter how strong-willed you are, no matter how cocky you are, no matter how pig-headed you are, you're going to change course. You're going to change direction. John preached a message of repentance. And that means change. How many of you have noticed people don't like change? People don't like messages that make them take a long, hard look at their life and change. Those are the only messages John preached. Today, if you want your church to grow, apparently you must pacify people and tell them that God loves them and God is happy with them and God is graceful. You know, we've got the radical grace movement telling everybody that everything is just fine. It's like God's just gonna, don't worry, God's, you know, God's dealt with it. It's okay. It's fine. You're having three affairs. Yeah. Probably not a good thing, but don't worry, the grace of God is good. I don't think so. The message of John the Baptist was a message of repentance. The type of thing people today don't want to hear. The Oaks tell us today, ooh, you must be careful how you preach. If you step on people's toes, they will leave. They will only leave if there's no fire. They will only leave if there's no fire. The people didn't like that. The Pharisees. Jesus called them a brood of vipers. How's that for calling a spade a spade? Well, John didn't like them that much either. But even the Pharisees came to hear his messages. Come on. Even the Pharisees came to hear his messages. You can tell people what they have to hear as long as the Spirit of God is there to give the fire. They won't like it, but they will listen. And maybe not all of them, but many of them will change. But if it's you preaching, nothing will happen. Nothing will change. In fact, the church will go empty. Raise your hands if you know some empty churches. I know plenty. What's the problem? Lack of fire. Amen? Lack of fire. Now, I'm not talking about fire and brimstone preaching. I'm just talking about the fire of God in the church. The fire of God in the preacher. The fire of God in the listeners. Amen? The fire seems to sort out everything. The stuff we can't sort out. How many churches have this situation? They've got together 50 times about the same thing. They still can't agree on should they do this or should they do that. Should they go this way or should they go that way? This one's fighting with that one. That one's not interested in that one's opinion. A little bit of fire and everybody starts running in the same direction. Hello? Fire comes in from that side, everybody runs that side. Bring the fire in and check how quickly people huddle together. Check how quickly people decide, ooh, we better work together. Amen? All right. I've still got 6 pages to go. But I'm not going to do that to you tonight. I would actually like it if some of you come back next week. So I'm just going to stop right there. Because I think tonight the Lord spoke to most of you. And I want you to listen to me And I want you to take this to heart. I am not a pastor. I am not trying to get you into my church. I don't want you to come and tithe here or do anything like that. Hello? I want to light a fire in you. And I would be so blessed if you can go back to where you came from and go and light a fire where you came from. Because that's what's supposed to happen. Amen? That's what's supposed to happen. Jesus did not stay in one place too long. Neither did the disciples. If you start a good enough fire, you can move on, because the fire will not burn out. Amen. Somebody please give the Lord a big hand of praise.